thank you so very much for your love for us. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for being our God. Well, we apologize to you in this moment, because even as we feel your Spirit move among us and we understand a bit more of what that means in our spirit, Lord, we apologize for taking for granted all that we take for granted. Lord, we just come and we just start speaking and we're talking to God and Lord, we're having conversation through the Holy Spirit with Jesus, and Lord, we just, here we are, being able to have communication with you. And we think that's normal. We think that's just okay. We think that's just not that big a deal sometimes. But Lord, it is a big deal. I pray that even now you would help us to see that as we are able to open our mouths, that you already read our hearts and know what we're going to say before we say it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would read the love that we have and that you would read the desire that we have to please you. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for giving us the possibility of salvation. We thank you for giving most of us in here the sense or the wisdom or the knowledge or whatever it was that made us come to you and be drawn to you. Lord, even as we talk about that a little bit this morning, I pray that if there's anybody in this room that has not been drawn to you, I'm talking about literally up to you and accepting you, that they would be drawn to you more today than ever before. We thank you for being with us in our every moment of life. We thank you that when we get in our cars to leave this church building, you don't leave us. We take church home with us because we take God home with us, because we take Jesus home with us, because we take the Holy Spirit home with us. Thank you for not letting us lose that connection. So, Father, I pray that as we come together here, Lord, and we try to answer some of these questions that we feel like are just major questions in us being the right kind of church and the right kind of people and the right kind of followers, that you would just help us to see that we have a connection to you. So, it's sort of set up, and we're not going to fail unless we're deliberately intended to fail. But Father, I pray that you would just be able to get through to our brains, get through to our hearts, get through to our spirit. Let us do what we were called here to do. Let us be what we were called here to be. Father, I praise you. I thank you for each person in this place this morning. Thank you that you've given us all different personalities, that you've given us all different gifts and strengths. I pray that you brought us together. I pray that you brought us together for such a time as this, in such a place as this, for such a people as this. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to do what you have planned for us to do, that we would reach your strategy. We love you this morning, Lord. We praise you and thank you for all that you are to us. I pray now, Lord, that you would open this, your word, that you gave to us to dig into, not to ever master, Lord. You've told us that your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You told us to study, to show ourselves approved. And yet we don't master it. We continue to learn. And it's not because somebody makes us. It's because you draw us. And so, Lord, I pray that as you draw us to the Word this morning, that you would bring something into our minds that we can take home and we can dig into. We love you. We praise you for all that you are. We pray that you do that work that we need in our lives right now. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray these things. Amen and amen. All right. We're going to look at some verses in the book of Matthew this morning. And last week, if you weren't here, it was what we dubbed our Vision Sunday. And there we tried to set out where it was that God was taking us and where it was obvious that he was leading us. And go ahead, Steele, and give me that first slide, because we talked about a few things last week, and they basically were biblical keys to fulfilling God's clear call on our lives to be disciples intent on reaching the world. That's what we are. We have decided, we have come to that point of acknowledging who we are. We are the people that have been brought to this place to reach these people at this time. And so we looked at some things. And the first thing that we mentioned is the only thing that we're going to deal with this morning, and as we go on down through the weeks and months to come, we'll deal with one of these every 2 or 3 weeks. But they're not anything that is not unique to every believer, every follower. But we will look at them as being those keys or those cogs that we need. The first one that we want to look at, or I want to look at this morning, is that one that almost, I use some alliteration here, and I don't know if that, this word, I was afraid of this word a little bit because it seemed to be maybe a little bit of a turnoff of saying that word. But then when we got together in our prayer room this morning, everybody was saying it. So I don't know if we just read that and we decided that, hey, we're going to use this word in our prayers today or what. But I don't mind using this word because it's what is happening, really. God is attracting people to himself. It's not how attractive we can be outside of God, how nice looking we can be, anything like that. What we're talking about is the fact that God has called us to bring people to himself. And so one of those words that we might use here is attraction. And it's one of those things that is just another word for outreach. Outreach is one of those things that we kind of say, and it sounds like a churchy word, and sometimes we don't get exactly what it really means just in a human kind of way. Outreach or attraction is us really going out with what God has done with us and letting people see that. And so these verses that we want to look at this morning are basically just verses that talk about how we present ourselves, how we make first impressions on people. And as a pastor, I have to tell you, sometimes it really gets down to where, with me and with the staff and with meetings that we have, it might not sound very spiritual when we say these things. But let me just list off some of the non-spiritual that actually really make a difference. Because when we have people drive up into our parking out here, we want them to know that we care about them. So yes, there might be a need for us to have people out there to greet people. There might be a reason that we reserve some of the best parking for people. That has nothing to do with something that we can find in the Bible, but it does say something about us to other people. We care about you. We want you to understand what we are saying to you. And so when they come in here, we want it to be appealing. We want people to be not attracted to this building, but attracted to God, attracted to Jesus Christ. And so everything that we have around us, we've said before some of the things that we just need to spruce up or make look better. It's not because we're trying to do anything or we're trying to be anything. It's just that we're trying to put forward the fact that we care that much about those people coming into our place only because we want to tell them about Jesus. We don't want them to go home and call the paper and tell them about our great carpet. Or we don't want to go, you know, there's nothing in this building that we really are impressed with. We are impressed with this Jesus that we are all about. And so if all of that stuff has something to do with that, it's only so we can be in a setting where you can understand that we love Jesus Christ that much. We look at the word, and we're looking at some words this morning that are appealing to me because there is some things in the very same couple of verses that are almost, well, they are just different. And so I want to look this morning very quickly in this because I want to get into the verses because these verses says it. True disciples are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt, we know, is made to flavor, and light is made to shine. But what I want to look at is this. When we look into God's Word, the reason that we are just brought into God's Word, and sometimes we will hear something, and I know I don't even need to get you to raise your hand. Sometimes we'll be in services, and somebody will say a phrase. I've done it a lot of times. Somebody will say a phrase, and it sparks something in my mind, in my spirit. And I'll hear very little else that he or she has to say. I just heard that phrase. And I'm ready to go home and dig into that phrase. That's how God does us with the Word. The Word is this mighty work of God that brings us in, and there is no way that we understand every aspect of it, because it is made to always be alive to us. If you hear what God wants you to hear today, you will go home and find something in the Word that you've never found before. How many of you in the last month have found something in the Bible that you didn't really realize it was there or anything like that? It's fresh. It's never old. And when we look in these words, I'm reminded that Jesus had 3 years of ministry. And in those 3 years of ministry, we like to say, or I have said it before, that Jesus doesn't use a lot of adjectives. He doesn't use a lot of words. He doesn't flower up. He's not a poet. He doesn't use a lot of extra words. But then I look at it, and I see what he does use, and it blows my mind. Because here he is, Aramaic, Greek, speaking, and the way he puts things together makes sense to us. And even in these verses that we're getting ready to read, there is a slight difference that I want to key in on, and it might be that nugget that we take home with us of seeing how is it that he says that we are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world in the same basic sentence. Because these are, I think even some theologians say that, especially this first one, about the salt and the light is a parable. It's not a parable. It's a metaphor. Parables basically are expanded metaphors. But this is pretty basically just a simple metaphor. And what we're looking at here is that he's stating, you are to be the salt of the earth. And we've heard that out of the Bible. We've heard people down on the farm say, you know what, that guy, he's just the salt of the earth. Or you might say it about, you know what, she's the kind of woman that I really like to be around because she's just the salt of the earth. And we use that and we know what it means. Now we very, very rarely would say that about some random person of he is the light of the world. I mean, you might say that about your spouse or something because of some different reason. But in these things that we're looking at one that's used a little bit more figuratively, and then one that is literal. And when we look at this, we can almost pick out which one is figurative and which one is literal. Because none of you ever saw. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if that makes you feel good or makes you feel bad, but we're not literally salt. But as we look at this, let's read it together. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And then I'm going to Matthew chapter 10 because he gives a direction there that I just think helps. So, Chip, that's not expository. Actually, really, it helps. And so, if you want to call it textual or whatever, it helps. So Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 13, it says this: you are the salt of the earth. You are the halos of the G. The halos of the G. We could do rappers here. We could learn what these are. There's two things that go together. We're the halos of the G, and we're the phos of the cosmos. Phos of the cosmos and the halos of the G. So if you're the salt of the earth, you're Greek, the halos of the G. And so what that really means is if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled on by men. Then we switch. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And the reason I want to bring chapter 10, verse 5 through 11 into it is this is a direct instruction by Jesus. When you enter any town or village, find out who is worthy and stay there until you leave. Greet a household when you enter it. And if the household is worthy, let your peace be on it. But if it's unworthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off of your feet when you leave that house or town. I assure you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and as harmless as doves. You cannot tell me that God does not give us a strategy on how to reach his world. He gives us a strategy, and he even caps it off by, look, this might sound strange coming to you, but be very shrewd, be smart, be wise, and be gentle. So we look and we see in Matthew chapter 5 that we are called the salt of the earth. Believers are distinctly different, both by nature and by purpose. In this correlation or this comparison to salt, by nature, believers are new creation. They're new creatures. And they are redeemed by Christ. Their purpose is to penetrate or permeate and change the very essence of the earth. They're designed and called to be the salt of the earth and also to let their light shine so that they reveal God himself. So I want to take just a quick minute to take a look at the distinction of being the salt of the earth. This is figuratively. He is telling us that we are to be figuratively this flavoring for the earth. Now, why did he use earth and world? Why did he use two? Basically, we would say in a rush, we would say it's the same thing, earth and world. But earth, he's talking about in the physical place here. He's talking about we as followers, we as Christians, we are to be the salt of the actual place that we have been given to work. This is our arena. This thing that we're calling earth is our arena. It's where we have been placed to do our work. What is our work? Our work is to introduce people to Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, it is not my greatest work to make you feel better about life, or really even to have an easier life. It is to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible is full of places where we go out and we heal and we bring joy and we bring singing and we bring laughter and all kind of good things, but it is in part being the salt of the earth. We're flavoring this place by what we have in Jesus Christ. And so what Jesus has taught us and shown us is what makes us different. Salt is totally different. I don't know if some of you are like Lisa and myself, but we're not on the same wavelength as salt when salt comes into it. So I think we're getting a little bit closer together, but I might salt something, I might need more. We're not at the same place as far as salt. So we're looking at this thing that Jesus has given us, and we're seeing, look, not only are we different in how we respond to flavor, but this thing that we are told that we are to be like or we are to be is totally different from the thing that it affects. If you think that salt equals T-bone steak, can I just come to your house and get all your T-bone steak? I'll give you some salt for it. Salt flavors food. Salt is very different from what it affects. We as Christians are to be very different from what we have an effect on. The power of salt lies in its difference. Believers are to be different. I don't believe we're supposed to be weird, but we're to be different. When it says we're to be strange, that doesn't mean weird, it means different. The power of our lives and our testimony lies in us being distinct. We'd be completely, strangely unspotted from the world. The second thing that salt does is preserves. It keeps things from turning bad. It keeps the decay away. Believers are to actually stave off corruption. Are we to have an effect on the world, on the earth? Yes. We're to have an effect on the earth in that we stave off corruption. The third thing is that salt penetrates and permeates. It inserts a new quality, a new substance, a new life. It changes everything it touches. That's not because we're so special. It's because the Holy Spirit is at work in us, and what we have a part in and what we affect is touched and changed. We're changed agents. The fourth thing, of course, is just the obvious: salt flavor. It takes a bland, tasteless food and it makes it beautiful. Believers are to be that flavor. They're to be that influence. Not by dumping ourselves on somebody. Have you ever been cooking and somebody had taken the top off of the salt and you just want to put a little bit and you dumped it in there? Nobody wants us to come dump ourselves in their life. We're salt, but we don't need too much of it. I mean, what we're supposed to do is flavor, not dump ourselves into people's life. Be the flavor that God is wanting us to be. And look, and you see that plainly in this analogy, in this metaphor, that believers are given a place to do this. It's let me give you a choice, and you don't have to respond. Are we supposed to do this in heaven or on earth? We're supposed to do it on earth. We're the salt of the earth. It's bad when we get to that point of where we think that we're just done here and we're just ready to go into heaven and we're through. We don't have any work that's left to be done. We need to be shaken and realize, yes, we do have a lot of work to be done here. We don't need to transfer ourselves into eternity yet because God hasn't brought us into eternity yet. He hasn't said, you're through with your work. He's still working with us in this place that we have been given. Many of us stop. We don't see something in our everyday life that's still needed. We are to multitask. We are to glorify God. We are to study. We are to look for the wisdom that God gives us, but we're also here to affect the lives of people. One thing that we've been given to accomplish here that we can't do in eternity is to affect people. We've said it so many times, and not us, but everybody else has. The one thing that we can take from here to there is friends. The one thing that we can take from here to there is effect on people, reaching people. In these verses, it's also said that we are literally the light of the world. We're not figuratively the light. We're literally the light. God is light, according to 1 John. Jesus said, I am the light of the world in John chapter 8 and John chapter 9. Here Jesus says, you as Christians, you as followers, you are the light of the world. And it's not figuratively. It is, you are literally the light of the universe. You are whatever this thing was that we read about in creation that God said it is good. That's what we are. That's our character. That's what the Holy Spirit puts in us. That's the unexplainable part of us that we can't write it down on paper for somebody to understand. What do you mean when you say you are the light of the world? There are so many meanings to that that we can't put it all down. Just as God is light, just as Jesus said, I am the light, he also said for us that we also are that light. What an enormous compliment. What an enormous responsibility that we are that same light that needs to shine into the world. The disciples' character, we find out, was light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He says to the disciples, I want you to be like me, the light of the world. They were to undergo this radical transformation. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Light overwhelms darkness. So one of the things that we have in us that's strange, that we can't explain, it is because of Jesus Christ, is that when we are approached with darkness, if we let Jesus shine, we overwhelm the darkness. You want to know how to get the bad out of your life? You want to know how to get the negative out of your life? Just let Jesus shine. Just intently say, God, I don't have this. I don't understand this. I don't get this. I'm just going to sit here and let you take care of it. And let you shine through this. And when we allow the Holy Spirit, when we allow Jesus to shine through us, we absolutely overwhelm darkness. It enlarges people's vision. It opens up the truth. It leads to the right path. It warns from danger. What lessons we have as believers in life if we just pay attention to this? Because there's not a place in the world, there's not a place in this cosmos that doesn't beg for the light, that true light of God. Every community, every village, every district, every nation, the whole world is illuminated by the light of believers. We are the light. And the only hope that people have to come to an understanding of what all eternity really means and what serving God really means is if we let our light shine before them. There comes a time in everybody's life that they want the light. There comes a time in everybody's life that they look for that light. Those are the days we've got to be ready for. Those are the days that we have to step in and show ourselves agreed for. There are two purposes in letting our light shine. If you're a born-again believer, God doesn't say, figure out how to generate light. Figure out how to use your light. Basically, what he's saying is, if you're a born-again believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, just learn how to get out of the way. Just learn how to light, let it shine. I mean, you need to go home to your wife or husband, but if she's not, or he's not here with you today, it's like, what are you doing? Let my light shine. That's all I have to do. Because God does it. Here I am. So that's pretty self-serving, conceited. That's who we are. We are the light of the world. There's two purposes for letting our light shine. It gets deeper. These two reasons that are given in these verses, go ahead and say it back to yourself, and you can see what I'm getting ready to say. Believers are to let their light shine in order to show forth their good works. Whoa! That's almost embarrassing. You mean what he's telling us is that we're to let our light shine so that our good works will shine. That just doesn't sound right. Because every humble thing in us says we're not supposed to do that. The verse says that we're to let our light shine so that people can see the good works that are in us. And those good works, the reason that we can do that is because those good works are not our good works, they're God's good works. Let your light shine so that your good works can be seen. James chapter 3 verse 13 says, be careful. Make sure you're showing it in wisdom and in gentleness. Make sure you're letting it shine in wisdom and in gentleness. The second thing is, believers are to let their light shine in order to stir people to glorify God. We are to let our light shine in order that people will glorify God. They will see our good works and they will glorify God. This is the supreme reason why our light is to shine before the world. Herein, John chapter 15, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now the application. If we're the salt of the earth, and we're literally the light of God, the light of the world. If we're literally that, and we're figuratively the salt that flavors the earth, then what is the application? What is Jesus' instruction for us? Well, even in the same gospel, Jesus tells them, look, here's the way that you do it. With one purpose, you shine before people. Let your light shine before people. Believers are not supposed to be secluded in the church building. We are to get ourselves out of this place into where they need us. If all we're doing is flavoring each other and we're shining on each other, it can be arguably said that we're an annoyance to each other. You keep throwing salt on me and I keep throwing salt on you, and you keep shining my way and I shine your way, we're irritating. So I think what he's telling us here is get out of the building. Get out into the place where they actually need the salt. They need the light. They need us to do what is said is to be done here. And so we see this. He says, go into the city and go into houses. Plan your ministry. Plan your visits. The Lord sent his messengers forth to go into cities, to visit houses in the cities, and they didn't sit around and wait for people just to come. Now let me be honest with you, okay? We as a 21st century church, we do a little bit of both. When we sit down for a staff meeting, or we sit down for an elders meeting, or we sit down for a brainstorming session, we do a little bit of both. How can we get more people to come to our church? It's okay, even though it doesn't quite go with this verse. And how can we more effectively get out there and do like we're supposed to do? And I'm going to tell you which one's easier. And I'm going to tell you which one we do more of. Do I need to? I don't even need to. It's easier for us to come up with these ways of, okay, let's just get a bunch of people here. There have been more than 10 times in my ministry that somebody said, why don't we give away a TV? What? That's bribery. Give away a TV, we can fill the place up. That's wrong. That's attraction for the wrong reason. And so we sit down and we figure out, okay, how can we get as many people in this church as we can? Which is, it's okay. You know, let's just give it a pass. We're going to continue to do that. Until God comes down verbally and says, stop trying to get people into this place. You know, he does give that great banquet illustration where he says, just quit calling the ones that you think are the favorites. Quit calling the ones that you want to be here. Go to the edges and the highways. He does do that. And we've got that to hang on to. But the hard one, I'm talking about the tough one, is us leaving here and affecting there. Because if you want to know the truth about it, one of the reasons, let me say this gently because I'm done and then we're going to go on. One of the reasons that people say, I don't want to come to church, is they say, y'all act different in here than you do out there. They do that. They say that about every church. They say it about this church, they say it about the greatest church you know of. Somebody says, you know what, they act different. They act differently in there than there. I don't know what they mean, because I guess we do, because we come in here and we worship, and that is a little bit different than what we do in the street out there. But we've got to figure out how to get those people to listen to us about what we need to tell them about the real light of the world and how they too can become the light of the world. Precise plans are made. The Lord wraps it up by saying, look, this is not just a little slight, you know, quick strategy. Sit down, figure out your strategy, be wise, be gentle. Be as wise as you can, be as gentle as you can. But I don't care how we cut it. I don't care how we spin it. I don't care what we do, what we say, what we think. If you hate, I mean, we can argue about 100 million things. But if we're not getting it in unity about the fact that we've been put here to reach people out there for Christ and see people come to Jesus Christ, we miss the whole point of what we're doing. Father, I thank you so very much that there are parts of the Bible that are simple. There are parts that are very, very deep and very, very deep that we still haven't totally understood. So, Father, I pray that you just help us to work on the simple. Help us to get outside of this building. Help us to be those that affect the world, those that shine to the world, those that portray Jesus out in the community. Help us to be what you put us here to be, and we will give you all glory for all that you are. For us, in Jesus' name we pray.